So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12, Ritrasura's Glorious Death, text number 12. Avidvan evam atmanam manyate anisam isvaram bhutai sujati bhutani Gasate Dhani Thai Svayam Avidvan Ibam Atmanam Manyate Nisham Ishvaram Bhutai Svajati Bhutani Gasate Dhani Thai Svayam. Avidvan, one who is foolish, without knowledge. Evam, thus. Atmanam, himself. Manyate, considers. Anisam, although totally dependent on others. Ishvaram, as a supreme controller, independent, Bhutai, by the living entities, Srijati, he, the Lord, creates, Bhutani, other living entities, Grasate, he devours, Tani, them, Tai, by other living beings, Swayam, himself. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Getting pretty high tech here with this screen. Nice floor, nice screen. Things are improving here, huh? A foolish, senseless person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although always dependent, he falsely thinks himself the Supreme. If one thinks, according to one's previous fruit of actions, one's material body is created by the father and mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, as another animal is devoured by a tiger, this is not proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself creates and devours the living beings through other living beings. Purport. According to the conclusion of the philosophy known as the Karma Mimamsa, one's karma or previous fruit of activity is the cause of everything, and therefore there is no need to work. Those who arrive at this conclusion are foolish. When a father creates a child, he does not do so independently. He is induced to do so by the Supreme Lord. As the Lord himself says in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hridisanavisto matasmatir jnanam apohanam cha. I am in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Unless one receives dictation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sits within everyone's heart, one cannot be induced to create anything. Therefore, the father and mother are not creators of the living entity. According to the living entity's karma, fruit of activities, he is put into the semen of the father, who injects the living entity into the womb of the mother. Then, according to the body of the mother and father, yatha yoni yatha bijam, the living entity accepts a body and takes birth to suffer or enjoy. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the original cause of one's birth. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the cause of one's being killed. No one is independent. Everyone is dependent. The true conclusion is that the only independent person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This word, avidvan, one who is foolish without knowledge. So there's a lot of people in this world that fit under this category of avidvan, foolish without knowledge. Of course, people have knowledge, but knowledge is very limited. Krishna, he comes and he gives us knowledge by which you can understand what is the absolute truth. Mata paratrang nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya. There's no truth superior to me. Everything is resting on me as pearls are strung on a thread. You see, when there's a pearl necklace, you don't see the thread. And someone may say, well, there is no thread. It's just, they're just hanging there. Can't see it. But that's foolish. Just like people say there's no soul. Can't see the soul. Anybody here ever seen it? Have you ever seen the soul? Can't see the soul. Doesn't exist. Can't see God. He doesn't exist. Right? But has anybody ever seen a thought? Anybody here ever seen a thought? You can't see them. Do they exist? I think so. Yeah? How about time? You see the effects of time, but no one's ever seen time. How about air? There's air in between us. No one's ever seen air. So it's such a ridiculous idea that you can't see it. It doesn't exist. But big, big professors, big, big intelligent people, this is their idea. You can't see it, it doesn't exist. So ridiculous. Yeah. So we can see gross things with our limited eyes. But with our limited eyes, we can't see subtle things. And all these things I just described, they're all subtle. They can't be seen with these gross eyes that people have so much faith in. But a devotee, he sees through the eyes of Scripture. This is the best way to see. Because Krishna, he sees everything. He knows everything. It's like this verse here explaining how we take birth, we don't know. But everything is under the control of Krishna. It's like, why is it that some people, they're born into very wealthy families, aristocracy. Another person is born into a very poor family, no education. Why? Yeah. Past activities. Karmana divinatrena. According to our own activities, according to the sanction of Krishna, everybody is accepting a certain type of birth. But what's interesting is sometimes people take birth in very low demoniac families, but then they become devotees. And sometimes people are born into very saintly families and become demons. It's interesting. Like I heard recently that one of Prabhupada's sons went to one devotee, I think it was Mukunda Maharaj. He said, you know, I was born into a family where the father was a saint. My father was a saint. And I became a demon. You Hare Krishnas, you are born into, you're all born into demoniac families and you become saints. Yeah. He was kind of honest, you know. Prabhupada had 5 children. Not one of them became a devotee. Shaktivesh avatar. How many of you would think? And because we say, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one who is very, very fortunate takes birth in the family of saints. But not guaranteed. Not guaranteed. Even Advaita Acharya had 6 sons. 3 of them deviated. He's God. Yeah. Became Mayavadis. So, nothing's guaranteed in this world. Except for death, old age, disease, birth, guaranteed. So, therefore it's so important that we take to heart the instructions of Krishna and get purified. Krishna will help us. If we're sincere, in many places Prabhupada says, if we're sincere and serious, but these two words are very similar. They even sound similar. Sincere. So I decided to look these up. What's the difference between sincere and serious? Sincere means genuine. And in the Bhagavatam, there's a verse that explains genuine. Savai pungsang pro dharma yato bhakti arhoksaje. Haitri kyapi tiyatai yatmasi kusti. So, no motivation. Uninterrupted. The supreme occupation duty for all mankind is that by which one can engage in loving devotional service. And such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. So this is sincere. No other motivation. Generally, everybody has some motivation. Even you join a religion, there's some motivation. So to have no motivation other than to please Krishna, that's sincere. And uninterrupted, that even goes a notch higher. It's no motivation other than to please Krishna, and uninterrupted. Krishna's asking for a lot. There was one commentator on the Bhagavad Gita. And when he got to this verse, Sarvadhammam parityaja mamekam saranam vraja. In his commentary, he says, Krishna is asking for too much. But the fool didn't know, or doesn't know, that if one gives oneself to Krishna, then Krishna gives himself to such a devotee. So the devotee comes out looking real good. You have Krishna. You achieve Krishna, then there's nothing higher. Nothing higher to achieve. So, this is the goal, to achieve Krishna, to become pure servants of Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajji Kavanoi. It's already there. This love for Krishna, it's there in the hearts of everyone. But it's just covered. So now with this chanting and this hearing and serving, we're uncovering this contamination. We're getting free of this contamination so that the pure desire to serve Krishna comes out. Sometimes you may think, how is it possible? How is it possible that I'm ever going to become a pure devotee? Any of you ever think like that? How is it possible that I'm going to be free of all material desires and they'll just be unmotivated, uninterrupted, pure service to Krishna? How is it possible? Well, I have some good news for you. You want to hear some good news? Yeah? I'm not convinced. You want to hear some good news? Okay. Okay. In the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came across one person who was a big Mayavadi, biggest Mayavadi in India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Famous. He was the mentor of the king. So, Lord Chaitanya, it's a long story, I'll make it short. Lord Chaitanya turned him into a devotee. And he became such a great devotee that Lord Chaitanya revealed to him the Sadbuj form, the form of Krishna, Lord Ram, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was a great devotee, he became very attached to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya also, he was attached. He wouldn't travel until he got the permission of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Yeah. So he also, if we become attached to Krishna, Krishna becomes attached to the devotee. So loving reciprocal exchange is there. So he invited Lord Chaitanya to lunch one day. And somehow he had this son-in-law that was a huge rascal. He was such a big rascal that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had to stand at the door with a stick. And the stick was for to beat him if he showed his face. I don't know what he did to have such a reputation, but he had such a reputation that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had to have a stick to guard, you know, just in case he comes. Amazing. So his wife is serving up prasadam to Lord Chaitanya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he sees that she needs some help. So he becomes a little inattentive in his guard duty. And he helps her serve out prasad to Lord Chaitanya. Imagine such mercy, serving out prasadam to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your home. So he's serving out prasadam, helping his wife. So Amoga sees the opening. He sticks his head in there, looks in, and he sees all this prasadam. He says, what is this? What kind of a sannyasi is this? This is enough food for 10 people. What kind of renunciation is this? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he looks at Amoga, and if vision could burn someone, he would have been burnt to ashes. So when Amoga saw that vision, he thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. So he took off running. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he grabbed his stick and went chasing him. Of course, he was elderly, couldn't catch him. So he went back to his house, and he's lamenting like anything. Yeah. The Supreme Lord comes to my home and he's insulted by this rascal. And his wife starts beating her chest. May my daughter become a widow. she wanted him to die, the son-in-law. They both wanted him to just die. Yeah. I mean, which is kind of understandable. The Supreme Personality of God, he comes to your home and is insulted by this rascal. And they have so much devotion for him. So they've both felt so bad because of this nonsense rascal. But Lord Chaitanya, he took it very lightly. Ah, it's not a big deal, you know. He's right. You know, I shouldn't be eating so much. You know, I'm a sannyasi. Don't take it. You know, it's not a big thing. Not a big deal. But they felt so bad, so they fasted. So Lord Chaitanya went back to his residence, and the next day, Gopinath Acharya, who was the brother-in-law of Sarvam Bhattacharya, he went to visit Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, how is Sarvam Bhattacharya and his wife doing? They're fasting. Now, why are they fasting? I can't believe it. They're taking this so serious. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. So, and Amoga, how's Amoga? He's dying. Cholera. So as soon as Lord Chaitanya heard that, take me to him. So, took him to where Amoga's dying. And he said, Amoga, you're born into a very nice Brahmana family. And the heart of a Brahmana is a suitable place for Krishna to sit. Now why have you allowed this chandala of envy to sit in your heart, making it not a suitable place for Krishna to sit? Then Lord Chaitanya took his hand. Lord Chaitanya had a big hand. It's described that his hand was so big that he could take enough rice to feed 2 Bengalis. And you know, they like to eat a lot of rice. Yeah. How tall was Lord Chaitanya? Anybody know? Huh? 7 feet. So tall. He's tall, 7 feet. So he had a big hand also. Tall body, big hand. So he put his hand on the Moga's chest. And he said, however, because you are related to Sarvam Bhattacharya, I remove all contamination from your heart. And when the heart is pure, one naturally chants, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. Then he took his hand off his heart, and immediately Amoga jumps up out of his deathbed and starts chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. His hairs are standing on end. His body is shivering. Tears are flowing from his eyes. And he's slapping his face. Not like this, not soft. But, I mean, really hard. Really hard. So hard that his face gets swollen and red. So then Gopinath Acharya had to restrain him. Otherwise he would have kept on, probably would have beat himself to death, you know, if he wouldn't have been restrained. And then Amoga pays obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. He says, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please forgive me. This mouth has blasphemed you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was so repentant. He became a great Vaishnava. What was his qualification? His only qualification was that he was related, not even a blood relation, not a spiritual relationship, just that he was the husband of Sarvam Bhattacharya's wife. And therefore, he received pure devotional service to Krishna. So the good news is, we're all related to Srila Prabhupada. And that's a spiritual relationship. You know, we're either grandsons or sons of Prabhupada, or daughters. So this is a very close relationship. And Prabhupada even said that the grandfather is more merciful than the father. So that's our hope. We're related to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, I mean, I can't even come close to understanding how close Srila Prabhupada is to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he predicted, I mean, it was predicted, Prithiviti Achayatin Nagaradigram, Sarvatapachoya Moina, that the name of Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will be spread through every town and village throughout the world. Prabhupada did it. And it's still happening. So, that's our hope. We have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So, therefore, we can also attain this pure love for Krishna. We can go back to Krishna. It's possible. But, it's not that we could just, I'm related to Prabhupada, I'm set. I don't have to worry about anything else and just be loose. No, we still have to be also serious and sincere. Oh, so I mentioned sincere means genuine. Serious means thoughtful. Thoughtful. Just like when we're reading Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada said, don't just read it like a novel. He said, when you're reading one sentence, don't go to the next sentence until you've understood the first sentence. And he told Yamuna, don't just read, try to feel what you're reading. Like, wow. Try to feel, try to understand and feel what Prabhupada and what Krishna is saying. Yeah. And meditate. You know, I mean, Prabhupada's books are so amazing. Yeah. As Prabhupada says in one purport, that you can read the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita thousands of times. And each time you read it, you get more insight in the subject matter. It doesn't get old. Krishna was blessed that whatever Krishna speaks is ever fresh. Who blessed Krishna? Anybody know? Little Krishna book test. Sandipani Muni, his spiritual master, blessed him. Whatever you speak. Of course, he doesn't need to be blessed, but he accepted. Thousands of times. It's like this, you all know Vaisheshika Prabhu, he started this program, the Chad program, chapter a day. So I asked him, how long you been doing this chapter a day? He said, for about 40 years. And he's one of the most ecstatic devotees you'll ever meet, yeah. He's an amazing devotee. He just absorbed. And he only received one instruction from Prabhupada. Read my books. So he really took that to heart. Not only is he reading the books, but he inspires so many devotees. There's so many devotees around this Chad program. How many of you do the Chad? Chapter a day. Anybody? It's a great program. He got me on it too. We're good friends. So I've been doing it for 8 years. It's a great program. I mean, the Bhagavad Gita is just like, phew, sweet, sweet. And I just heard a lecture from Prabhupada. He was telling the devotees, he was speaking from the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam class. He said, you used to read a chapter a day, Srimad Bhagavatam. So where did Vaisheshika Prabhu get that idea from? Prabhupada. Prabhupada instructed many devotees, read a chapter a day of the Bhagavad Gita. And then I just heard Prabhupada say to the devotee, read a chapter a day, Srimad Bhagavatam. It doesn't get old. So nice. So thoughtful. And when we're reading it, we should really, try to understand what's being said. As Prabhupada said that my purports are my devotional ecstasies. He said my books are better than me. Because he says I put everything. Everything is there. Actually, he said everything is there in the first canto. Everything is there in the first canto. What to speak of the rest? So, we're very fortunate to have such literature. And a devotee is not only interested in his or her good fortune, but wants to help others also become fortunate. And therefore we have this wonderful activity of transcendental book distribution, giving this knowledge out to others. Just like people, they don't know about karma. They think karma just means, good, bad karma. You do something bad, you do something good, it comes back to you. But here, in this verse, it's explaining a bit more that according to our past activities, everybody is getting a certain result. It's like we're born in this world with nothing but our karma and our desires. And we're born in this, we leave this world with nothing but our desires. So the plan is, the goal is, when we leave this world, we have one desire: to serve Krishna. This is the goal. Just like this Alexander the Great, he was a little thoughtful. So when he was 32, he got this disease. And he had so many doctors. He was wealthy, so he had so many doctors trying to cure him of this disease. They couldn't do it. So it was understood, I'm dying. So he told his close associates to do three things for him from what I've learned in this life. He says, when I'm being carried in my coffin, let it be carried by six doctors. And as I'm being carried, throw gold coins at the feet of the doctors that are carrying my coffin. And in the coffin, have my hands out like this on each side. And they said, okay, what's the message behind this? He said, well, we had so many good doctors to cure me of this disease, couldn't do anything. So in their failure, let them be the ones to carry the coffin. And I was so wealthy, he conquered so many countries. He was so wealthy. But now, it's no more value to me than dirt on the ground. So just throw it to the dirt. And he said, I'm born in this world with nothing. And now I'm leaving with nothing. A little thoughtful, yeah. But actually, he didn't know that he's leaving with a lot of karma. A lot of reaction. The Yamadutas had a lot to do. A lot of work with that person. He killed so many. Thousands and thousands. So, the goal is to get purified. Vedyam Pavitram Omkaram. Krishna says that I'm the goal of the Vedas and I am that which purifies. However we come in contact with Krishna, we're getting purified just by being in this temple room in front of the lords. We get purified. Chanting the names of Krishna, we get purified. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, associating with the devotees, we get purified. And it's natural. It's actually unnatural. We're actually diseased now in our impure state. We're diseased. So these Prabhupada said that these temples are kind of like hospitals. And we're taking the medicine. Every day we're taking doses. Not the doses we eat, but the doses of medicine. Yeah. Every day we're taking these doses of medicine. And eventually we're going to be cured of the disease of materialism. And what is materialism? In the Uddhava Gita, Krishna explains that that all the modes of nature are contained in the mentality of two words, I and mine. All the modes of nature are contained in the mentality of these two words. And this is everybody's going around, I and mine. I am this body, my home, my children, my money. Yeah. I am the CEO of this company, a country, or this of this company. So I and mine, false ego. What does Krishna say? Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinirvitti kama dvandvera mukta sukutuka sangya adjant. What is it? Yeah. So, that's the first one. If we become free of the false ego, yeah. Nirmana, that's a tough one. This is the new, so there's different coverings of the universe, so that's the thickest, the most difficult. This false ego, I'm this body. Nirmana moha, illusion. So much illusion. This is related also, thinking we're this illusion that we're this body. I'm the enjoyer. I'm the proprietor. I this, I that. Jita Sangha Dosha, who is free of bad association. So many people we can associate with in this world. But if you associate with non-devotees, we get contaminated. We associate with devotees, we get purified. This is another wonderful thing that Prabhupada has done. He's made so many devotees. So many devotees. And still, today, this morning, I was noticing so many new faces. It's nice to see new faces. New devotees being made. Ajita Sangha, Nimana Moha Ajita Sangha Dosh, Adhyatma, who understands the eternal. We're the soul. Can't be destroyed by any weapon or fire. Can't drown the soul. Can't be withered by the wind. Vinivrittikama, who is free of lust. Prabhupada said, our old enemy, Mr. Lust. Big time enemy. Destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. Formidable enemy, Mr. Lust. Actually, this lust is just a perverted reflection of our love for Krishna. So, Nirmana moha jita sangha adhyatma nitya vinivrti dvandvera vimukta sukaduka sangha gacchanchimudha param avyamta, who is free of the dualities of happiness and distress. Adhyatma nidhyavani ritti kama dvandavara mukta sukadu. So by taking to this process, we get purified of all this contamination and situate ourselves again as the pure servants of Krishna. So I think I went over a little bit. It says here 8:45. Should we have a question or no? Question?
Thank you for the lecture. I wanted to ask, it's not directly related, but the question came to my mind now because it's connected to distributing books. Lately one devotee who did Sankirtan for long, for years, decades, he said that he stopped selling books in a sense that he stopped even demanding a donation because according to his experience, he says it might be more conducive for people to get a good impression and became devotees even without giving a donation. That this, in his experience, he says he's now trying this option. And I mean, he's not promoting this. He said this to me privately, like, you can try this. And what do you think about this suggestion? Because it's my experience also that people sometimes when they get a present, you can see that reaction is completely different. This genuine gratitude sometimes, which would be somehow diminished or even destroyed by giving an even a slightest impression that you are like everybody else, just wanting these few euros, and then this moment of giving something genuine can be lost. So what do you think about that? How to combine both?
Well, quite often, unfortunately, devotees distribute books and give the impression as though the book is for free. And then we ask for donation. So they're a little disappointed. So it's so important that just to give you an idea of how thick this was, I was at a university distributing books at a book table, and one professor came to the table and he was looking at the books and he said, "Oh, you're Hare Krishna?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh yeah, you're the people that give out the free books and then you ask for donation, and when we don't give you a donation, you take back the free book." I said, "Yep, that's us." That's exactly us. So yeah, if we give the impression as that the book is for free, then yeah. You offer them a free book, "Oh, thank you so much." Then you ask for a nice and obvious. So you don't present the book as though it's for free. And how do you do that? Here you get one, that means it's a free. Here you get one, here we're passing these out, that's free. But that's how we were trained, because we were immature, we didn't know. But there's another way. Here, can I show this to you? I'll show this to you. Here, check this out. That doesn't give the impression as though it's for free. And then they're not disappointed when we ask for donation. Yeah. Prabhupada didn't like free books. 99% of the time, he was against free books. The only time that he said it was okay was when somebody sponsored books. Books were paid for. Then he probably said, "Then that's okay." But even then, still, he gave the example of in India, sometimes people give away free things like free mangoes or free, and then they think, "What's wrong with it?" You get something for free, then they think something's wrong with it. Not valued. Yeah. So, Prabhupada actually said that this was my transcendental plot for spreading Krishna consciousness. That people, they get a book, they give donation, you know, half of the Lakshmi goes to print more books, you know, some goes to build temples. Some goes to maintain the temple. So in this way our movement grew. It was genius. And Prabhupada said, the BBT is my heart. So it's so important that we distribute books and ask for donations for their own benefit. They also get to do some service. Yeah. Of course, they get a book. That's also some service. They get to read the book. But why not let them engage in more service? And a lot of people like to give donations. I don't know about here, but in America, billions of dollars are given in charity to charitable organizations. People like to give. And therefore, sometimes I tell people that, well, the book costs like, you know, 5 euros to print. If you give any more, it's a donation to me. I'm a monk. And they give, sometimes they give 50 euros. People like to give. Of course, that's pretty rare, but people like to give donations. So why deprive them of giving to Krishna? And this person must—to just be able to give away books. I mean, you got to have some money. I mean, the books aren't cheap. You got to pay for them, you know. And this temple isn't so wealthy you can just give out books, you know, that'd be a problem. No. Books are expensive. Yeah. Oh, the books are already paid for? If he likes, he can do that.
Yeah, but it's not, as you said, it's not beneficial for them.
Well, in one sense, it isn't. Because, they can't value it. Yeah. Such a cheap book, you're just letting it go like this. Must not be very important or not very valuable. Yeah, Prabhu. Yeah, that could be there too. Some religious fanatic trying to convert me. And a lot of times, I've seen it in universities, the Christians, they go by and they distribute Bibles for free. But then at the end of the day, they go around to all the trash cans and they pull out. So many books they just throw away. If they don't show interest, then why would they want to read it? If someone's very interested, then maybe. But why not ask for a donation? What? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Transcendental book distribution ki jai.